Thank you. You may be seated. Again, thank you, Janelda. We really appreciate you helping us along in worship. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. So we've been talking about solid footing. And in my mind, and I trust in yours, it's the issue of solid footing going forward in terms of whatever the Lord has for us as a church family and as a church in the months or the years to come. And it's very important to reflect upon the fact that this refers to really having solid footing when it means holding to God's word, knowing God's will, so that I can walk with God. And so it's just not my role, it's the role of every one of us. And team is guarded as we continue to individually want to be on solid footing as to what God has said, what he wants for me, so that I can walk in his ways. And then when we all get together, we're all going in the same direction. That's what teamwork is all about. So we've been talking about this issue of solid footing spiritually, and we've talked about it having the sense of standing with your feet planted in certain beliefs that hold true to Scripture and the Christian faith. But also, because you're able to stand, you can also withstand. You can guard against things that could be harmful because your eyes are open and the Lord is alive on the inside and the Holy Spirit is bringing verses to your mind or he's cautioning you. So as a believer, I'm able to be not just standing up and believing the right things. I'm able to guard against things that are unwise and that could be unhealthy. That makes me on solid ground. That is very important. And then we talked about the fact that where does God want me? Well, obviously he wants me to be with him in heaven. That's John chapter 17 in Jesus' prayer. But also in John 15, he wants me to be with him day by day. And it means that I need to walk with Jesus by obeying him, knowing what his word says, avoiding things that could be harmful in our relationship, and certainly entering into things that are healthy for my relationship with God. That's what the Bible is for us. It's a guidebook helping me to be with God. And then I thought about the fact a few weeks ago that Christ is our foundation. We all go back to there. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That was Peter's message in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And Jesus certainly affirmed that he said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and nobody, no man comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is very exclusive. The Christian faith is not a faith that believes that all roads lead to heaven. Jesus, as God, said, it isn't that way. I am the way. And so this is very important that we stand on the foundation, the only foundation before God we have, the only footing, the only solid footing is if I know Jesus personally. And so important. And then we talked on Thanksgiving Sunday that when you consider having solid footing with God, and you're walking with God and you're enjoying Jesus, one of the indicators of that is a thankful spirit. It's like what God has done in me, and I just realize his grace and his mercy and his goodness and his patience and his long suffering with me. And I look at the harvest and all his goodness in giving us family and homes and food and so many good things. It just says that I'm tuned in with what God is doing. And I am overflowing with thankfulness. And so the issue of being a thankful church and a joyful church is such an indicator that we are on solid footing. And that's where we need to going forward. So today we want to talk about solid footing when it comes to being team. And I was thinking about this. Some of you here are loners. Some of you are those who are more introvert than some of the rest of us are. That's the way God has made you. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, all of us, whether we're loners or introverts or extroverts, whatever, we all recognize the value of a team. Actually, we practice it every single day. And so I was thinking, even the fact of the food chain that is around. We so rely on team. It's necessary. It goes from the farmer to the processor to the harvester to the transporters to the marketers, and we're all in this together. We're working toward a goal. In our area, of course, you see these signs, farmers feed cities, okay? Cities need farmers, farmers need cities. We're all in this together. What is the focus? We need to be fed. And so that team is so important. Think of the team that so often has to be there to help us through our medical or health issues. It's something that we appreciate every single day. And we could even think of the utilities to our homes and all the people that it takes to make sure we're warm and that we have lights and all this stuff, or education, or even our social needs. In all this, what we're saying is we need people in our lives. And interesting, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we are created, well, it's two things. We're created sexual beings, but we're also created social beings. It is not good, God said, for man to be alone. So this whole issue of having team, it's important to recognize that we do need one another. And that was God's idea. And we haven't even talked about church yet. Okay? Just in living on planet Earth, team is so important, and we rely upon it every day. Now, when it comes to spiritual team, God knows that we need that, and team has made such an impact on all of our lives in respect to God all through the years. And I'm thinking of the fact of being on solid footing with God, and who has been on my team? And as I list a few of these people, you may have others that you come to your mind. And I guess I have to start with my mom. Even when my dad had absolutely no interest in spiritual things, my mom was at least allowed in our family to take us to Sunday school and church. It was at that small country church that I met people like Ernie and Polly. And they were spiritual people. Some people were not so spiritual. And our church was not perfect as a little country church. And some people lived like living according to the world, and others according to Christ. And some people thought they could live for the world and live for Christ at the same time. And so I saw that inconsistency. You say something with your mouth, but you're not backing it up with your life. My mom did not want to be that type of person, and neither did Arnie and Polly. And they encouraged me in spiritual things. I think of our Bible school teachers when Owen and I were in Bible school, or Ontario Bible College for me, people who've influenced me. We think of our time at Philpott Memorial Church in Hamilton, where Pastor Lou Warad was, in many respects, just not my boss. He was my mentor. And I think of all the things that he taught me. But I think I caught as much as I was taught. Tremendous influence in my life. And when I think of these types of people, I also think of Glad White, a retired school principal. You know, Glad was one of those people that just knew how to shoot straight. You know, but she was so caring and so gracious, and she hit the nail on the head, and she helped you, and she prayed for you. Glad made a tremendous influence in my life. and others along the way, and you know who they are for you. I was thinking of this. I wrote this down. The very fact that you have had an impact in my growth for the past 30 years. I've grown because of you. And I'm not the person I used to be. And I hope that you're not the person that you used to be either. But what has it taken? It's taken team. And we're together. And we are going to live together. And we're going to serve together. So, spiritually speaking, it is so important for us to appreciate what team is. Let me put it another way. When we think that knowing Jesus and walking with Jesus seems overwhelming and too much for us, let's say this, we are not alone. Isn't that great? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. We are not alone. We have others. We are here for one another. Now, you could just teach Ephesians chapter 4 as just being raw truth, and it is, and it's very helpful and so on. But Paul the Apostle, when he taught Ephesians chapter 4, I think he had a couple things in mind. One would be to give us proper direction and remind us, but that's always with a view of encouraging us and lifting us up and keeping us on solid footing with God and one another so that we grow. Team is so important. So Paul today is our teacher and our mentor. And let me just mention two or three things, but there's a whole lot of details here. And I don't want us to get bogged down in every verse we read this morning, because as I said, you could take one verse and do one message. We're not going to do that. We want to hit the highlights. So I would say that in verses 1 to 6, it's important for us to know that team demands togetherness. And it means that this is consistent in verse 1 with our calling. He just says you need to walk, you need to live a life consistent with the calling that you had. Our calling was to be at peace with Jesus and to make peace. And he made peace for us, and we chose to enter into it. And that means that we are to be at peace with one another. And a church that is not at peace, a church that is torn and in disunity, is not in a position where it's living worthy of the calling that we've been given. And so it's very important to understand that when God puts us on solid footing, it's for the purpose of being one with him and one with each other, and that involves togetherness. So, togetherness is important. Rooted in remembering God's call, verse 1. It's rooted in Christian graces. Look at verse 2. I thought this was interesting. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. In all of our lives, becoming like Jesus and developing these graces, these characteristics, these traits, it isn't just to be like Jesus, but it's to help us to live together. And togetherness takes these graces. Just think of the converse in entering into a church business meeting or in a church discussion, where you do not have humility and gentleness or patience or bearing with one another, and there's certainly a lack of love, that is not good. Togetherness demands that I take responsibility for these graces in my life so that when I am in the locker room approach to doing team as a church, I bring that to our gathering. I am called to live a life worthy. And that means that I have certain traits that I bring to the family. And those traits lead to togetherness. That's what we want. And in all the decisions that we have to make, and some of them very hard, we are still to have the character of Christ in what we do. So this is very important. It's rooted in being intentional. I like verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The bond of peace is something that's given to us by being related with Jesus. We are in a bond, in agreement with God regarding being at peace. But in the early church, I understand that there was also a bond of peace that they gave to one another. It was like the blessing of Christ or the peace of Christ be upon you. And that is our prayer and our wish for every one of us seated here. It's, I want peace with you. We need to work at this. It takes work, doesn't it? Because if I can bring up what we've said before many times, if you remember Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer animation version, Christmas time, when you end up on an island of misfit toys, I wonder if when God sees us sometimes, he sees how unique we are, how special. Sometimes we're like misfit toys. We're still toys. We're still his children. We're special. We're blessed. But we all have our quirks and our idiosyncrasies and our ways. And when you have a church family who are unique, make every effort. It takes work. It takes work sometimes to bite your tongue. It takes work to be patient and to be gentle. But these are priorities. Make every effort to keep the unity. And as I look back, one of my greatest roles, I think, as a pastor is that in spite of all the differences and the things that come our way, how can we do this together? And I've been very concerned all along. Okay, this may be different. This one sees it. But we gotta move together here. And square pegs and square holes and round pegs and round holes. And we're all doing our part and we're moving. Okay? And big part of togetherness, this whole thing here. So these things are very important in order to preserve the togetherness that we want to have. And we could go to Colossians chapter 3 and read there. It's a parallel passage, verses 12 to 14. But again, there it just speaks of all these qualities that are so important. The reason why we need to preserve unity is that because in reality, in the family of God, if we know Jesus personally, we have certain things that are foundational, certain things that we all have in common. And this is where we plant our feet. We believe there is one body. In other words, there's one family of God. That's what the Bible teaches. It's the body of Christ. Those who place faith in Jesus as Savior and who desire to follow him. All roads do not lead to Rome, as we had mentioned. And so the body of Christ, we either believe in Christ or we don't believe in Christ in this world. It doesn't matter whether you call yourself Baptist, Anglican, Buddhist, whatever. Do you know Jesus? This is a big issue. There is one Holy Spirit. We have one calling to a certain hope. And we also have one Lord, that's Jesus, and one faith, not a faith, but the faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. These are things that we hold in common. This is a doctrinal statement. It's a belief statement, because when we know Jesus, we have these things, we stand in them, and they are the foundation for us making every effort to be together in what we do. We are God's people. And so going forward, here we have the issue of team involving togetherness. We need to be encouraged in this way all the time, all the time. And I just want to be a good coach and a good mentor and a good leader that says, now come on now. And I am so thankful for our mindset here in this room. Now, the next part has to do with diversity, verses 7 to 12. And as we had mentioned, the gifts are provided by Christ himself in verses 7 to 10. The issue is that the gifts that Christ has given to the church in order to be team, these gifts are actually people. So certain people had the gift of apostleship. They were the apostles of Christ. Others were prophets. They were evangelists, pastors, teachers, encouragers, helpers, missionaries. In a variety of gifts, they were given to the church. Certain people were given to the church, and they were appointed by Christ. So no matter how small you feel that maybe your gifts or talents are to be used for the purpose of serving the Lord and others, it's important to remember that Christ did not make a mistake when he gifted each of us with the gifts that we have. It may take us a while to figure that out, and others may help us along the way saying, you know, you really have the gift of encouragement. Or you have a great teaching gift, or the gift of helps. And however it comes about, we make better progress when we understand who we are. Not only in Christ as a person who knows Jesus and I'm going to heaven and I'm focused, but in terms of what gifts God gives me in order to make progress as a team. But remember, these gifts are actually people. And so the way in which we look at the family of God is that team is built on diversity. In other words, I can't live without you. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes you wonder. We need one another. Because Christ gave certain gifts, and your gift is needed by me, and my gift is needed by you, and we're all dependent and interdependent on one another. That's what a team is. Picture the hockey game. As much as you may not really be in sync with some member of the team because you don't think totally alike, if you're a center, or if you're on the left or right wing, you need the defenseman on the blue line. And if there's a turnaround somewhere and that opponent even gets past the defenseman, you need your goalie in the net. What are we doing? We're guiding one another toward that goal, but we're defending one another against this goal behind us. The church is called, with all of our diversity of gifts, to be a team. And so it's the issue of appreciating one another and getting along. We cannot live without one another. But the purpose really comes down here to verse 12. Why is this important? So that the gifts have been given to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. In other words, we need people around us so that we can grow. And may I just go off and say, this is the reason that church is so important. The gathering of people, either into small groups or house churches or a gathering like this, we need one another. And for the person today, because it's becoming increasingly prevalent, that thinks, I don't need the church. Jesus was very clear that an indicator of your salvation, as I mentioned earlier, is that you love the brothers and sisters in Christ. And if there isn't that love, the love to be together and to grow together, something's wrong. Now, this isn't just new in our day, because in Hebrews 10, it tells us, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, listen, as some are in the habit of doing. So this is not a new issue. It was happening shortly after Jesus left, when certain believers thought that they didn't need to be with the church family. They didn't need the encouragement of others. Whatever reason that we use to justify not being together on a regular basis and benefiting from the gathering of others with different gifts so that we can grow together, whatever reason we use to justify that is beyond obedience. It is disobedience. So we need to be together. Diversity is so important on the team, but it's all with the focus of maturing in Jesus. And so just to close off, verses 13 to 16, not only is the team important because of togetherness and it has diversity, but the team has a focus and we need to keep that focus. And that's why he says here in verse 13, until we all reach the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It means we become like Jesus in how we think and live. And then we will no longer be infants tossed to and fro by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. In other words, I need to know what I believe and where I stand, and I need to stand on solid footing. And I need to be the person that realizes that from Jesus, the whole body, the whole team, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each one does its part. I remember a few years ago, some of you remember Clarence Bedford. Clarence and Lorraine used to sit right back there behind Pat every Sunday. That was their chosen spot. But Clarence said to me one day, he said, you know, people do what they want. And I thought about that for a while. People do what they want. And so the question that came to my mind ultimately was this: what do I want? What do we want? Big question. Because what I want usually leads to me prioritizing certain issues in my life, and then I make plans to fulfill those priorities, and they become a part of my practice. As Christ followers, our focus has to do, as the church of the living God, at becoming like Jesus, verse 13. That's what I need to do day by day. Growing and maturing, and we become together in the faith and transformed to being like Him. Which means that in verses 14 and 15, I can stand with Jesus. There's stability in my allegiance to Him. And I'm able to fulfill almost the golden rule that believers are to speak the truth with love. That is the balance. I am not to compromise truth. So when we're talking about having togetherness and unity, it is not at the expense of truth, not for one minute. This book becomes the foundation of what we follow. And if we digress from this and compromise this and do not obey this, we've already put in place a disunity with God. And so we're not talking about disagreement on the fundamentals of the faith at all. We need to be together and stand in the truth. But in every instance where we present that truth, let me put it this way. It's not the hellfire and brimstone of the 30s and 40s and 50s. Because that very attitude sometimes, though I do believe in hellfire and brimstone, that's what the Bible teaches. But the attitude in which you give it whether it be from behind a wooden pulpit or be in a workplace where you just love to give your opinion to people and you're preaching at them all the, I tell you this, I do not want to be known as a person who preaches at people. Because sometimes there's the air that I'm up here. You get it? No, rather speaking the truth with love means that I stand in who I am in Jesus. I know the truth. And the way I present it is in such a winning way that others might want to follow Jesus too. John chapter 1, Jesus, listen, Jesus was full of grace and truth. There's the balance. And that's Christian maturity. So that's where we need to be going. Standing with one another, partnering together, verse 16. So I'm thinking of this whole issue of togetherness. And going forward, it is so important. I was thinking of the little poem. It's so easy to recite this, isn't it? To live above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. To live below with those we know, oh, that's a different story. We almost laugh at it, but we need to move away from that. Why can't we love those that we live with here? It's not focusing on those we love and it's so easy to get along with them. They're not here. No. I need to live below with those I know. And that is in a character of love. So that's what we need to approach. And so we're together in this. And that togetherness means we love those we know as well as those who have departed. My prayer would be this. God, help us to treasure togetherness through Jesus, to appreciate it, to rejoice in it, and to encourage one another. We could have sang another chorus this morning. I actually forgot it, Jen Elder, but it came as I was preparing this morning, actually. It goes like, I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you with the love of the Lord. And I can see in you the glory of the King. And I love you with the love of the Lord. It's that type of togetherness that is so important. And may we say as a church going forward, togetherness in these issues, even when a transition of leadership comes, it remains a part of the solid footing. We stand together and we want to be focused, even though we're so diverse in terms of becoming like Jesus and honoring the Lord. It's looking for a leader who will be one with you together, because when the vision and gifts of the pastor or the leader are one with the vision and gifts of the people, churches tend to grow. That's what God wants. So solid footing, this whole issue of togetherness is very big. The matter of team. And may God encourage all of us in this way today. Well, we're going to stand and sing another old hymn. I am resolved. And you'll note the verses that we've chosen have to do particularly with making sure that I am resolved to follow Jesus. Let's stand. Again, so glad to be with you today, and let's be careful about bottlenecking too much as we approach the door, and just so we can be sensitive to one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our church family. We are so glad to be together today. We pray, Lord, that the value of this time together may so encourage our hearts for the days ahead of us this week, that we will remember that we are here for one another. We can lean on one another. Pray and encourage and sometimes weep and be there. We pray, Lord, that that togetherness might be so treasured that you will be pleased, and that along with other gospel preaching churches in our community, that the church of the living God may grow and that you may bless. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.